A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, August the 23rd, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, the Harare Agricultural Show rolls into life tomorrow with organizers saying they are happy with their preparations despite the harsh economic environment that has forced them to reduce the show dates.
What happens is that even though we're paid for taxes, we're not like, live in a vacuum, and we're not like outside what Zimbabwe is going through. So obviously what's happening in Zimbabwe is definitely affects us, and we have to consider that, and that's why we reduce our show dates to 24th to the 29th to 6th day. Because we're looking at the economy now to realize that organizations actually do this for the period that they've stated before.
And the 14th edition of the International Images Film Festival for Women continues next week after its official opening Friday evening with calls for more financial support for the local film industry.
We're encouraging Zimbabweans to make films, which is why we've got special prizes for the Zimbabwean films, where they compete against other Zimbabwean films, and we're really hoping that we get winners this year, and this can inspire other Zimbabweans to go out there and tell Zimbabwean stories.
The Deputy General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation of Global Trade Unions, Wellington Chibebe, castigates the current labor practices in the country, giving us his international perspective.
Next year, I'm assuring you, because I'm responsible for the human and trade union rights, including politically responsible for legal issues, Zimbabwe will be appearing before the Application of Standards Committee at the ILO.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo. The Harare Agricultural Show rolls into life tomorrow, with organizers saying they are happy with their preparations despite the harsh economic environment that has forced them to reduce the show dates. The show will run from tomorrow until Saturday under the theme Enhancing Agricultural Productivity, Managing Climate Change. Harare Show spokeswoman Heather Madombwe tells us more on the issue.
We have a chief, and that chief parade is called from the 4th to Glam Arena, and we're looking at having an array of exhibitors which are part of that, the drama. We're looking forward to the Tuesday. We're looking at having kids who are below 18, as long as they're in the field, and can enter the showground for free. And we're looking at a quiz that's going to be held by WIG, and that's something that's really part of it. Something that's initiated and that's new for this year. And not only that, we're looking at different discussions happening in the middle of the hall for the whole week. And we should bring us to our main event, which is on Wednesday, which is our annual National Agribusiness Conference, which we hold every year, for 3rd year running. And having said that, the date of everybody is highlighted, the 28th of August, we were looking at the official opening.
Does the state of the economy not affect attendance? Also exhibitors, have you had 100% exhibition space taken up?
What happens is that even though we're 25 hectares, we're not like, live in a vacuum, and we're not like outside what Zimbabwe is going through. So obviously what's happening in Zimbabwe definitely affects us. And we had to consider that, and that's why we reduced our show dates to 24th to the 29th to 6th day, because we're looking at the economy now to realize that organizations actually do this for the period that they've stated before. And also having looked at that, we've not changed our rates. But at the same time, even on our stands taking us from end of day to day, we're still at a negative 3% in terms of the stands. But when you then look at the livestock, you look at the ag produce, you look at the home industry, you look at the floral section, all those have an increase in percentage, which is quite amazing and which is surprising.
That was the spokeswoman of the Harare Agricultural Show, Heather Madombwe, in Harare. The the 14th edition of the International Images Film Festival for Women roared into life Friday evening with calls for more financial support for the local film industry, which over the past decade or so has been producing less and poor quality films due to lack of resources as the economic crisis continues to bite. And the film festival continues this coming week. Ivan Chifera has more from Harare.
While acknowledging that the local film industry has not been receiving much support from the government in particular, Deputy Information Minister Monica Mtrangwa said women should take advantage of the industry to tell their own story, adding many success stories about women are not being told by the mainstream media. Mtrangwa said women in the industry should claim their rightful place in the filmmaking industry, but Acting Festival Director Karen Mukwasi said women in the industry, just like their male counterparts, were being hampered by lack of financial and technical support, resulting in the festival being dominated by foreign films. Of the 67 films showing this year, only 10 are from Zimbabwe. Mukwasi adds most local films are failing to make the grade due to poor quality.
We're encouraging Zimbabweans to make films, which is why we've got special prizes for the Zimbabwean films, where they compete against other Zimbabwean films. And we're really hoping that we get winners this year, and this can inspire other Zimbabweans to go out there and tell Zimbabwean stories.
She said filmmaking required more money and technical expertise, which is lacking in the local industry. As a result, said Mukwasi, local filmmakers end up producing short films due to lack of money to sponsor big-budget productions or feature films.
Filmmakers need more training. They need financial support to come up with good products that meet international standards. And I think filmmakers also need to work together, because you find there's a lot of fragmentation in the film industry. And maybe if we could pull our resources together, bring the filmmakers together.
Among the 67 films on show are three beauties from Venezuela, Essie's from Spain, Beatrice Wu from East Timor, and Art of Ama Aita Aidu. Also showing is a film called Aisa, a Congolese girl residing illegally on French trench territory. The film was produced in the United States. She claims to be a minor, but the authorities believe she is over 18. In order to establish whether she can remain in the country, a doctor must give a physical examination. Local filmmaker Anton Mutambira is excited by the high quality of films on show, adding, also interesting is the inclusion of venues in high-density areas such as Mufakose and Highfields to showcase the productions during the festival.
I'm really, really happy that IF is taking the films out there, and I think they can still do more. They can still touch much more remote places, because there are youngsters out there who have a future in film, who have the talent to actually take our industry further.
He is, however, worried that attendance has been low even when the shows are free. Some people like Samantha Moyo of Budiriro said the quality of the films was good, adding attendance could have been boosted if the festival had been widely advertised, especially in high-density suburbs. Caroline spoke after watching the film Eye of Iop City from Ivory Coast at Rutende Hall in Mufakose, but others like Sanders Takundwa said he preferred watching movies on television at home. Several workshops, including one on documentary making and entrepreneurships, would be conducted during the festival, which ends next weekend. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930, 4940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies, and on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. And coming up, the Youth Forum with Tatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by a young Zimbabwean that you might know by now. That is Calvin Mutize, and he is one of the Mandela Washington Fellows who's now back on the ground in Harare. Calvin, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me today.
Kelvin, of course, you guys have returned to Harare, and as the brand that you're calling yourselves, the Yali Creatives, you've already hit the ground running. Let us know what the Yali Creatives are and what you guys have been doing in Zim since your return.
Great. So Yali created a group of fellows who are part of the Mandela Washington Fellowship who are in the creative industry, basically arts, media, and entertainment. And whilst we were in Washington, one of the creative members, Munya Blogo, he managed to connect with Christian Epps, who is the lightning director for most of Spike Lee's movies and also a couple of other movies. And recently, he's the one who was the lightning director for Selma, the movie that was done just recently on Martin Luther's life. So Munya connected with Christian Epps whilst they were in Atlanta. A week later, Christian Epps is in Zimbabwe for the International Images Festival for Women. He also did a couple of side events that were hosted by Media Matrix.
And, you know, how important was that to get on the ground and even have this event happen where Christian Epps came to Zimbabwe for this film festival?
I think the biggest thing that we have realized is that as much as we have fellowship, we have learned a lot of things. We still have a lot of people back home who are willing to learn. I think that's the most amazing thing, that we have a lot of people back home who are willing to learn from other people who have been through and who have done it. You know, looking at Christian Epps, he's got about 20, 30 years. He started doing the work that he's doing now, you know, 16. So you can imagine the amount of years that this guy has on movie sets. Like, you know, and now being able, he wants to, you know, sit down and be able to impart all the knowledge and understanding that he has to people who are currently doing a lot of media-related filmmaking in Zimbabwe, who have got low-budget movies, who have got not enough equipment, but they really want to make, you know, quality productions and quality programs that people all over the world will benefit.
And, of course, you told me a bit earlier that Christian Epps will be creating a organization, a foundation to assist African filmmakers. Tell me more about that.
Christian Epps, founded a program to link American people who are in the creative space with people in Africa to help them in terms of training, in terms of opportunities for them to learn more about the industry that they're currently in a part of. So he's going to be doing a lot of workshops and on-job training, participatory learning projects with a lot of creatives in different nations, not just Zimbabwe, but Zimbabwe is one place that you also earmarked as well to work with as well.
And we cannot forget, Kelvin, that you yourself, of course, are the content manager for TV Yangu. What's happening next with TV Yangu?
I think the only way is the way forward, and the only way is the way up. So we're going to try and do our best to make sure that we just continue doing our work and become more innovative and also helping a lot of the synergies and the opportunities that we've got in the U.S. to actually break them and bring them down and also figure out how to make it more viable and have more content and make sure that everyone is represented.
And under your Yali Creatives banner, what do you guys have in store for some of the young Zimbabweans, of course, who are interested in gaining the knowledge?
There's a whole lot more to come, which for now I'll withhold. But there's so many collaborations that came out of not just of our group of Yali Creatives, but also from some of the people who heard of our work. And so we're looking forward to, you know, doing a lot more things on the ground with different people from different industries as well, not just the creative industry, but even to branch outside the creative industry so that other people can also, you know, benefit from the things that we have gotten.
Kelvin, I want to thank you as usual for joining me today on the Youth Forum.
Thank you very much, Tatenda. We're looking forward to working with you more and, you know, connecting up.
That was Kelvin Mutize, 2015 Mandela Washington Fellowship alum and also content manager of TV Yangu. This is Tatenda Gumbo, and as usual, everyone, make sure you join me next week.
Thank you there, Tatenda Gumbo, with a very inspiring youth forum. Moving on, the Deputy General Secretary of the International Trade Union Confederation of Global Trade Unions, Wellington Chibebe, has castigated the current labor practices in the country, giving us his perspective on the issue. Chibebe is threatening to take international legal action against Zimbabwe next year if the gross labor rights abuses continues. Chibebe tells us more on the issue.
Well, I think it's a very clear issue. Clear in the sense that Zimbabwe has always been on our radar. It's among the 10 worst countries in the world in terms of violations of human and trade union rights. And we have three such countries in Africa. That is Zimbabwe, Swaziland, and Central African Republic, which are considered as countries at risk in Africa. And given the development in Zimbabwe, and given the fact that Zimbabwe has been on the agenda of the ILO each and every year since 2002, it is now our duty to make sure that what Zimbabwe has been telling the world or lying to the world that things are improving in Zimbabwe is not entirely true. In fact, it was a decoy. It was a way of making sure that they had their own way in the end.
And also in 2009, there was an inquiry and the ILO Commission observed gross violation of workers' rights in Zimbabwe by the government of Zimbabwe. How is this now playing out in what we're seeing happening today?
Zimbabwe has been informing the ILO since 2009, particularly starting 2010, that yes, they had accepted the recommendations and they were training their forces in order to respect human and trade union rights. They were training their politicians in order to also know that there is another world outside Zimbabwe. Outside the small well of Zimbabwe, there were oceans out there. But what we have realized is that they have been lying to the world, giving beautiful reports when they reported the ILO annually. But when on the ground, they are actually implementing opposite programs, now amplified by what they are doing, allowing employers to hire and fire at will, including the employer called Mr. Government is hiring and firing at will. And including the politicians, including the members of parliament. So we are suspecting that this is all but political imagination.
So moving forward, what action is your organization going to take to ensure that the workers' rights are respected?
We have got a two-pronged approach. We have always been having our own campaign termed Corporate Power to ensure that companies which are violating human and trade union rights in country are dealt with. And we are on a global campaign to identify such companies. And in the case of Zimbabwean companies, particularly those companies that are linked to outside companies, it's easy to influence their headquarters outside Zimbabwe to ensure that these companies are conforming to the international instruments, particularly when it comes to labor issues. Where they don't do this, we make sure that these companies in Zimbabwe may not necessarily find it easy to export outside Zimbabwe because we don't want bloody money and bloody exports from Zimbabwe to flood the world. And this is one of the campaigns. And the second one is the issue of the ILO. Zimbabwe has been giving an excuse that they were dealing with the issues in-house and there was dialogue. And we have realized that, no, it was a ruse. They were lying to the international community and the ILO that they were dealing with the issue. And the next year, I'm assuring you, because I'm responsible for the human and trade union rights, including politically responsible for legal issues, Zimbabwe will be appearing before the Application of Standards Committee at the ILO.
What does this mean when they do appear in front of such a commission?
It's a sanctioning committee, and it gives an impression to the world in terms of what sort of a country Zimbabwe is. And in terms of the business world, they will also access the finer details arising from the proceedings and ensure that when they do invest in Zimbabwe, they do invest mindful of the situation that their money is not safe in Zimbabwe. There is a risk in doing business with Zimbabwe, both now at country level, political level, and at business level. My personal view, and in consultation with my legal colleagues, is that this issue requires international prosecution. And we believe we are going to do that.
Kurara ope, kurara ope rugare, kurara ope kugarika.
From the day my dismissal was at Atanga, I've been playing this song thinking to the colleagues I was with in the trenches are facing these difficulties while I'm enjoying myself overseas. It pains me.
That was the Deputy General Secretary of the International Trade Unions Confederation of Global Unions, Wellington Chibebe, in Brussels. And now to recap on today's top stories. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.